This is Ashley Hodge with the Sikkim 365 podcast. I'm here with Larry Gatewood. We're going to talk about women's basketball. We just witnessed a couple days ago, we're a couple days late in getting this podcast together, but we watched Baylor defeat South Carolina on the road, and it was a pretty impressive road win. They won 94-69. They jumped out to a 32-13 first quarter lead, and they never looked back. So I want to hear from Larry, but I'll just give you my 2 cents first. The Lady Bears made baskets. It's as simple as that. They shot the ball extremely well. You know, they shot the ball from mid-range well. Chloe Jackson was on fire most of the game. Kalani Brown and Lauren Cox did a great job down in the post. And then Juicy Landrum and Moon Urson made threes. They were 5 out of 6, just the two of them. So I think it was just a complete performance. But it's good to see him make some three-point shots. What do you say, Larry?
I thought that was really an impressive game. And I think that isn't it about time for finals? Are we in finals now?
I think we are in the midst of finals next week. I know they're in the midst of them next week.
You usually see teams fall off at this time because of finals, and their minds are fried.
Right.
And but they were very efficient, and they shot 55% from the field and 62% from the line, and free throws over 70. And
Sixty-two percent from three is what you meant, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Right. And I was impressed with Landrum, Juicy Landrum. It looks like Kim's kind of said, "Take all the reins. It's your team. Get out there and make them go."
Right.
And she just played with this unbelievable passion, like, I can do it, instead of holding back and waiting for somebody else to do it. I thought that their roles were defined more than I had seen in previous games.
Right.
And I know that's from practice and maturity. And I thought that the transfer, what's her name? Chloe Jackson.
She played
a lot better because she fit in. The system looks like it's balancing now.
Right.
And she was real smooth. But the thing that still gets me, we've got a guard and her, and she's averaging 12 points a game. She hadn't shot a three-pointer the whole year.
Right.
And that means people are just going to dare her to shoot that thing.
The encouraging thing, though, is she was really good from mid-range. I mean, she made a lot of 10 to 12 to 14-foot shots in that game and shot it with a lot of confidence, shot it quick, you know, in the flow of the offense. And I agree with what you said, that I was really impressed with how they gelled, you know, especially early in the game. They just came out, you know, and like Bill Walton says, offense wins championships. I mean, we know they're good on defense, but when they're able to shoot like they shot and pass the ball, move the ball, have spacing, you know, Dee Richards, even though she got into some early foul trouble, I think she picked up 2 fouls in that first quarter, if I'm remembering right. You know, but she, I love her game. And like you say, Juicy Landrum and Chloe Jackson, 11 assists and only 2 turnovers between the two of them. That's just great basketball.
No, it really is. And the fact they put Cox on the 3-point line and on the wing, saw her play the wing. Man, if she's able to move outside and they get those three big ones together, all of them in there, it's going to create a lot of mismatch problems.
Right. Yeah, and
I think she'll adapt to, you know, shooting that shot.
Cox also had 6 assists. So if you include her and that Juicy and Jackson, and actually so did Dee Dee Richards, had 4. I mean, you're talking about 21 assists, 21 of the 23 assists coming from those 4 players.
Cox has great awareness. She knows where everybody is. She doesn't have to force stuff. And she is a real good passer. I mean, if John Wooden had her, and not saying that this is detrimental to the girls' program, what I'm saying, but the UCLA high post offense, she could have played with those great teams and played the high post, because she'd go out, square up, read what's going on, make a pass, make a dart to the basket, come back, one pass away to help.
Right.
And I really like that.
I agree. The player off the bench, you know, of course, I've already thrown down the prediction that Nalissa Smith's going to be the best player to ever come through Baylor. She didn't have a lot of production in this game. She only had 4 points, but she was 15 minutes. But Moon Urson played a great game off the bench. 2 for 2 from 3. She had a couple rebounds, a steal. She did turn the ball over twice, but I thought she was very effective and energetic, gave him, you know, some good minutes off the bench. Of course, by the time the bench came out there, it was 32-13 pretty much. So the game was already comfortably in Baylor's favor. But, it was just encouraging to see Baylor go on the road and put away a team that, you know, has had a little bit of a disappointing year. They lost to Drake. They did lose to Maryland by a pretty significant margin, but they're still a great program with great talent, and it's a road game, so it's impressive to see what Baylor did.
Well, a big stat to me is seeing Kalani Brown. I think she made 8 out of 10 free throws.
Right.
She really shot that, and that's really good. And of course, when you have a stat like currently today, Baylor's girls team is shooting 58% from the free throw line, which is not a real good figure. But the key is, they shot 73% in that game. From here on out, can they make that 73%?
Right.
And that's the fact they made that on the road, that was even a better situation.
Right. And it's all who you have shooting free throws. Kalani's actually a pretty good free throw shooter, 74% this year.
Right.
But you would, like you mentioned before we got on air here, Chloe Jackson, 78%. Juicy Landrum's 100%, 7 for 7. So if we could get Juicy some more free throw attempts, then that number should definitely start to go up quite a bit. The ones that have really pulled it. Yeah, the ones that
she's only shot 7 the whole year.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And you got Queen Egbo, freshman. She's 8 for 25, so she's 32%. So that's obviously bringing the average down quite a bit.
Yeah, but as far as where they are now and where they were when they went out and played, was it Arizona or Arizona State?
Arizona State.
They made some really big strides.
I agree. I'm excited about what the season's going to look like. They've got another big road test in a couple weeks. The same night that the Baylor men play Arizona, the women are going to be playing at Stanford. Excuse me, I got a lingering cough here. So they got, you know, the Stanford test. We'll probably get on a podcast and talk about that game. And then, of course, they host #1 UConn January 3rd, which will be a big game in Waco. Huge game. So those are the two really big games coming up, and we'll get a better idea if this team is national championship caliber after those two tests.
Well, you know, if Baylor beat UConn, maybe we can change the name of the girls' team to UBay. UBay instead of like UConn. With our girls are UBay.
I think that would be easier for a lot of football recruits. There's a lot of University of Baylor floating out on the social media, so that's not a bad idea.
Well, I will say this, just when you're talking about a few other things, is I just want the Baylor fans to know that my prayer was answered as far as the football team, and because I just really prayed, God, please don't let us have to play the Aggies in the Texas Bowl. And he answered that prayer big time.
Yeah, that would have been an interesting game. I think it would have been a bad matchup for Baylor, if I'm being completely honest. But I also do think Baylor may have had a motivation edge. So, but, you know, it is what it is. I'm super excited about playing Vanderbilt. So just real quickly, you want to touch on the men? What have you – did you watch that roller coaster affair at Wichita State the other night?
Well, honestly, you know, I do a lot of stuff with kids here in Houston. I tell their parents when they're on the side, I have a bottle of No-Dos in my truck if you need one. They have chemistry, real chemistry issues.
Right.
And, you know, it's just like I said in my write-up, bless their hearts, this is just really not a time for them to be critical.
Right.
Because those kids don't want to play that way, and the coaches don't want them to play that way. But it's just taking more time. And there's some guys that I think Kegler and Makai Mason, it's driving them nuts that they can't play up to the level that they play.
Right.
And when you sit out, when you look at Makai, it's been 2 years. It had been 2 years basically
set
out.
Yes.
Yeah, this is it's going to take time.
Right.
And we do need some more horses, though. We need some big guys. But I'm happy. It'll be interesting. They have 2 weeks before they go to Arizona, and I'm sure there'll be some stuff cleared up. And Arizona, they're not the Arizona of last year,
right.
Last couple of years.
Right. They lost a lot of talent. They were named prominently in the FBI scandal like Kansas was. I always have to get my dig in on Kansas any way I can get it. But they also so they're down in talent wise, and I think a thing that a lot of Baylor fans need to realize is Mario Kegler was suspended for the 6 games, and so this was only his 2nd game back. His shot is definitely not there from 3-point range, which the 1 for 11 from 3-point attempts will verify that statement. But he also had a knee injury. He had arthroscopic knee surgery in October. Or September, October. So he missed a whole month, you know, just from that as well. So like you say, the chemistry just isn't there yet. But it is a team, especially with the young talent like Jared Butler and Matthew Meyer, that I think could be pretty interesting by the end of the year. There's some guys that can score the basketball. We haven't seen it away from the Farrell Center much, but you know we have seen glimpses of it, and we know that it's. The capabilities there, and I think once they start to gel, we'll see a better product on the court.
No, and the Big 12 to me is not as tough as it's been. You've got Kansas and Kansas State, and after that, it's kind of open.
Right.
And I know the Meyer kid, which I think when he understands the difference between playing high school basketball and upper major college basketball, he's going to really do well. I'd love to see him play at the high post and let him go through his arsenal of moves from the free throw area. Then if somebody comes on him, then he can kick out and stuff. But that guy's just real cagey with the ball. and you don't know what he's going to do. He doesn't know what he's going to do. But when you're making a lot of moves and you don't know, you don't think them out. He's just practiced so many. It's in his brain. He knows when to use them, and he doesn't have to think about it.
Right.
And he's not mechanical. He's not. And most big guys are mechanical, but he's not mechanical.
I've been talking to you on the phone for many, many hours, you know, that haven't been podcast related. And, you know, I think one thing I can say for sure is that you are a fan of using a big man in the high post. You've mentioned that many times, but I agree with you. I think Meyer would be the perfect candidate to do that because he's got the ability to take smaller players off the dribble and get to the hoop, and he also can make that mid-range shot, even step back to three, and he's a pretty good passer. Like he showed in the game that we beat South Dakota, he showed down the stretch, you know, that he catching the ball there, and you know, he's able to see over the defense, he's able to throw some perfect passes to Tristan Clark, and Tristan converted, you know, for some scores down the stretch. So I like the concept for sure.
Well, the only thing in nowadays offenses is they want to dribble drive all the way into the paint.
Right.
And when you set up in the paint, you're already closer to the basket.
Right.
So, you know, you're not going to get the three-pointer, maybe, but you got a chance to get 2 points and put those post players, get them in foul trouble.
Right, right.
Because they have to guard you.
Right.
So.
Good points. Well, I know our intention to start out was to make this women's focused, so we'll end it here. But thank you, Larry, for taking the time to give your thoughts. Always interesting. If no one listens, I love it. I love to hear your thoughts on women's basketball. But I know that there are plenty of people listening. So you've been listening to the Sikkim 365 podcast with Ashley Hodge and Larry Gatewood. And we'll join you again after the Stanford game in a couple weeks and talk about that one on the women's side. And then I'll be doing podcasts, you know, probably have Larry on occasionally for the men as well. So have a great week and Sikkim Bears.